Welcome back. I hope, however, that time was spent was nourishing in some way. And like I said, we'll just move right into our sit. So I'm going to ask each of us to allow your body to come into a position that feels comfortable and invites in a sense of alertness, nobility, really, these noble teachings. As we take our seats as daughters of the Buddha, sitting in a circle, I like to think as women have always done. And if it's helpful to bring that image to mind again of all of us sitting together in a circle across our state lines and national lines. And just taking a moment to just connect with yourself in this position of relative stillness. Calling the energies back home. Feeling the aliveness of this body of ours. And again, it may be there's ease in the body or there's not. Okay. Just making space for however, whatever the experience is of being in a body in this moment. Okay. Yeah, that sense of it's just like this. And for the anchor of our sit today, I'm going to lean into one of my favorite practices, which you all are familiar with, to play with the elements and just do focus on water and earth this morning or this afternoon, wherever you are. And so wanting to start with this earth element. And I like to start the practice with calling to mind an image of a hillside, a rock, so that iconic spirit rock image of the tree and the stone, if you're familiar with that. The iconic mountain image of Mount Shasta or Mount Fuji, the mountains that seem to just arise from the horizon. And the sense of impermeability of the mountain. Now the mountain is unchanged by winds and storms. So too, if we allow our body, allow ourselves to focus on the earth element of the body, the relative stillness, the relative solidity of the bones, just resting here. Again, imagine resting in the bones. If it's helpful again to have that visual of a mountain or a big rock, a hillside, a redwood, maple tree, whatever it might be. It's that image of, oh yeah, being able to align with the relative stillness of this earth element, both internally and also externally. So it is externally in the world, the relative stillness. Some of these earth elements. So, too, may we experience the relative stillness in our own bodies and a sense of connection I was speaking of before. This body made up of so many of the same things as this earth around us. Can we allow ourselves to pierce really the delusion of separation? This animal body resting here in this moment upon this earth. Of course, we belong. We are a part of this natural world. And the mind will do what it does. Stories, comparing mind, replaying conversations, all the things that the mind can do. Okay. And then again, it can be helpful to bring up that image of a mountain or a whatever earth element image is useful for you. And just resting. Oh, not now. For those thoughts that pull us one way or the other. and coming back to just resting in this, again, the relative stillness of the body, and imagine just resting in the bones. And you're welcome to stay here and practice with the earth element, or to shift gears, change the channel, so to speak, with the water element. And again, I always like to start with a visual, so it might be of a mountain stream, a river, a creek, the ocean, some moving body of water. So it is externally the fluidity and movement of water. So it is within each of us. Yeah, our bodies are a little vague on the percentages, but let's say 78% water. I think the brain is 80% water. The earth is somewhere in the middle. I think 78% water as well. And we again align this animal body to the element water, the fluidity, the flow. Whether we can have a visceral sensation of the fluidity, the moisture in our mouth, saliva, moisture in our eyes, feeling of the blood and other fluids that move through our system. Aligning ourselves with the fluidity of the movement of water, and allowing ourselves to touch into the visceral truth that there is consistent flow in our body. So it is externally, so it is within. So I'm just going to leave it with these two elements, and you can pick one if one feels more useful for the sit, or to play with both. Please remember, there's no such thing as a bad sit. We come, we take our seat, we see what happens. And see, like, can invoking in a way the elements of earth and water, that which is around us, that which is within us, to see how that is to play with. So enjoy, please feel my appreciation that we can sit together on this day. It's so nice to sit together. Over I missed class last week because in part was going to see my daughter in Florida, and my niece, who's 25, was baptized on Easter Vigil on Saturday night. And it was a lovely service. There were 12 individuals who were baptized, ranging in age from, I think the youngest looked like she was about 10, up to folks kind of late 50s, early 60s. And it was just such a lovely spread of individuals, but the welcoming sense of it's that Sharon Salzberg has that book on faith, and speaking about Buddhism, sort of the three stages of faith. There's bright faith, that's, and I'm sure many of us can relate. The first time we heard the Dharma talk or we read that book, that was like, oh, this is hopeful. And so from bright faith, moving into the faith where we check it out, is this right? It's not so much, it's sort of a healthy doubt, verifying it. Does this really work? And certainly the Buddhist teachings of come check it out. Take what works, let go of the rest, but you have to really experience it. We have to do the practices and understand the teachings and be able to adjust our life such to see, are these teachings really meaningful? I think clearly for those of us that keep coming back, yes, there's meaning in the teaching. And then that third maturation process of faith is the abiding faith, where we're just like, we can just rest in it. The resting and the confidence of faith and sadhana. Many of you heard me say this, but it's definitely one of my favorite Pali words, and it's that sense of what do we rest the heart upon? And when there's such a clarity, like, ah, I can rest my heart upon this. So again, in thinking about the weekend with my niece and her fellow baptismal siblings, just that sense of the welcoming into a place of faith, and was just so touched by that. And in terms of for us, that how do we keep, it's been quite right, but and how was our connection to our faith in these practices, in these teachings? Again, more that sense of what do we rest our heart upon? And another version or translation meaning to sadha is a sense of faith or confidence in our ability to meet what comes. And for me, that's one of the greatest teachings of this body of work, of how do we, week after week, day after day, as we refine our practice, interact with it, engage with the practice as a means of being able to gain that confidence, to rest in that confidence of, okay, so whatever comes, I can develop the capacity to trust that I can navigate it and move through it. Because a lot of stuff comes our way, and we've had women share kind of the relentlessness. It's so many people dying or illnesses, and illnesses that keep going. And the sense of sometimes it's like, whoa, it's too much. And yet, right? And yet we're still here. We keep going. And I think being able to lean back into, I mean that quite literally, leaning back into these teachings of like, no, it's okay. Oh, I can get through this even when it's just so challenging. And part of what's helpful is to just bring the gaze back into no, just here. It's just right now in this moment, as opposed to forward thinking 5 years from now or what's it going to look like. And I remember it's somewhat random and perhaps too much information, but when my daughter was giving birth to my daughter and saying to the doula, like, I can't do this for 5 more hours. She was like, okay, why don't you just try doing it for another minute? I'm like, oh, good idea. But this way we can reach out and extend our sense of like, well, it's like this in 5 years. I don't know if it's next month or whenever. And it's like, oh, sweetie, but it's just right here. Like, this is actually the only place that there is. The future is just imagined and the past is whatever it's done. So how do we keep reminding ourselves like this breath, just here, what's true, what's happening here? And the beautiful invitation of these teachings of like, what is what I'm thinking actually true? You know, which is why every most weeks when I say like, hey, check this out, we can watch what the thinking mind is doing and how remarkable that is. Because and again, there's that flexibility, there's a possibility, that breath, that pause of, oh, I can see my mind doing this thing. It's done 1,000 times before. Does it help me? No. Can I make a choice? Maybe. Sometimes the groove is so well formed that it's hard to make the choice. It's not just like snap your fingers and think of something else, but that very question of, is this helping me? Is so liberatory. And I know I have said this before, but I do not think it can be underestimated, the import of being able just to notice, okay, I am, this is the thought train I'm on. Do I like it? No. Can I get off of it? Maybe, maybe not. Sometimes we don't feel like we have the internal resources enough to change gears. But again, just that awareness of, oh yeah, this is this thing that I do when I get scared, when I get nervous. Again, on this trip, I really do not do well if I'm late or I have to hurry to catch a plane. Just kind of own it. And sort of was ramping up with my daughter. She's kind of wanting to do a couple more things. I'm like, and getting all stressed out. And it's like, we both know I do this. Is it great to be around? No. Do I wish it were otherwise? Yeah. And I'm aware, I'm like, okay, this is this thing I do. And I apologize to, you know, to her that this anxiousness builds. And it's like, it's best for me just to be able to have the time. I know my mind will do this. I cannot believe it. So there's that, again, there's that distance, there's that space. So the intensity of the energy gets dissipated some. She knows well enough not to take it on. But it's like, oh yeah, this is this thing I do if I feel like I'm cutting it too close. Okay. This is the habit of the mind that I'm aware of. Haven't quite gotten to the place where I can shift out of it, but at least I can catch it and I can know, oh yeah, this is this thing that I do. So I want to share this poem. It's by John Rodel. It's called You, the Unbreakable Water. Me. Hey God, John. Hey John. Me. I'm about to break. God, why do you think that is? Me. Because life just keeps getting harder. God, well, then you need to become softer. Me. Huh? God, here's the thing. Glass is hard, but it can shatter easily when dropped. Rock is hard, but it can be broken quickly with a drill. Gold is hard, but it can be melted in a blazing fire. Don't be so hard that you break down so easily. Be soft like wet clay on the hands of in the hands of a potter. Be soft like the river water in summer. Be soft like the breeze through the row of tall pines. All of those things survive no matter what happens to them. They endure because they haven't built their existence out of hard materials. Be soft with other people. Don't break them with your words. And don't let them break you with theirs. Be soft with yourself. Your heart is more cotton than iron. Your soul is wrapped in the softest of fabrics for a reason. The softer you become, the more you understand how precious all life is. Be more of cotton than you are of concrete. Love isn't cold granite. Love is shapeless. Love is like ocean water gently passing through your toes. In a world where the hardness of diamonds helps determine its worth, don't become one yourself. Become so soft that nothing can break you. It's so lovely, this invitation of, oh, to meet the hardness with what if we can relax, which is why sort of playing with the earth and water in our sit sometimes that, for myself at least, landing. Because this mind can get a little busy dropping down into the earth element as relating to the natural world of the earth element is hard. There's a weightiness to it, a gravitas, which can be anchoring, which is why I like to go there. But paired with the softness of the water, like, oh yeah, we are always in flow. There's a fluidity. The line, another John O'Donohue line I quote all the time, if I want to be surprised, I want to live like the river does, surprised by its own unfolding. Can we allow the fluidity of our lives to move how it goes without our trying to control it or manipulate it or play it out, game it out? If it's like this now, then what's it going to be like in 6 months or all of that that can just raise our agitation level, which that makes it much harder to be in kind of a steady, more available place from which to make decisions. So this invitation of, oh, become soft. And Tarbrach has an exercise I'm sure many of you might be familiar with of sort of from ice and then but imagine being ice hard and then melting and then into gas and these movement of these three elements. But this way that we can meet things so hard like ice For those of you who fell on the ice over winter break and broke my wrist, ice is hard. There's this solidity to it. And then sometimes that's what we need when we need to be in kind of a more firm, bounded place. Sometimes that's very skillful. And other times, oh, wait, can we align ourselves with the water that runs, like the river water or the ocean water meeting our toes? But this idea of being more of cotton than you are of concrete, how do we want to abide in our heart, right? What are the qualities? Yeah, when the heart gets firm or shut down, it's harder. Yeah. There's a way that we can protect and brace ourselves, often for many of us for very good reasons. When we were young, we needed to kind of have that fortress to protect our heart. And sometimes in certain circumstances in our present time life, that may also be true. Can we have the awareness that that fortress is there, but still have the connection to the heart? And I remember for myself in my 20s trying to really feel through that wall. I felt like the wall had become so thick I couldn't feel my heart. And it really took that melting, melting, melting. And certainly requires a certain degree of safety. Can I do that? Can I trust? Can I soften? So in these practices, when we do take time to sit, particularly in sitting in Sangha as we do, how can I soften here just a little? Another poem. But it's called Remember by Bridget Anna McNeil. Bridget Anna McNeil. Remember who you are, not the shape others have put on you, and not the story they handed to you, not the lies or the needs that were pressed into your psyche, not even your own imagined ideas of what you should be. Be the real you, the wild innate you that is breathing under all those should-be's, all those untruths. Remember the feel of it, the shape of it. Let it inhabit you, like the golden weeds rewilding the concrete. And this from Mary Oliver called Invitation. Oh, do you have time to linger for just a little while out of your busy and very important day? For the goldfinches that have gathered in a field of thistles, for a musical battle to see who can sing the highest note or the lowest, or the most expressive of mirth or the most tender. Their strong, blunt beaks drink the air as they strive melodiously, not for your sake and not for mine, and not for the sake of winning, but for the sheer delight and gratitude. Believe us, they say, it's a serious thing just to be alive on this fresh morning in a broken world. I beg of you, do not walk by without pausing to attend to this rather ridiculous performance. It could mean something. It could mean everything. It could be what Rilke meant when he wrote, "You must change your life." So I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. And just bring your attention back into your body. Feel what you're sitting upon, where your feet are. And I so appreciate Mary Oliver's invitation of, can we slow down enough to hear the concert of the birds or even the wind in the trees or whatever the sounds are around us in the natural world? We slow down enough to be present to it. It may be something, it may mean everything. But this notion that it might mean that you need to change your life, by which I take it to mean to shift out of that pacing that has us hurry, hurry, we gotta go, it's this, it's that, it's the other thing. To be like, wait, can we slow down just a little or a lot? So I wanna ask us to kind of reflect on the typical day or a typical week. And to notice where is it that we get caught in the hurry up moving forward. It might be if home with little kids at home, that's sort of, oh my gosh, I got to get them out the door to school, or I got to get to work on time, or all the ways in which the realities of life are kind of crowd in, and there are demands. I need to catch the plane, or I need to go here, I need to go there. And just what might it be like to soften a little in those moments? And even maybe taking a larger arc of a day or of the week or of this particular time in your life. Is there somewhere, there's some, whether it's a something at work or with a in a family or home situation or just internally, where we can find ourselves in a place of rigidity, of hardness? Where we're unyielding, where we cling to what is right. I know I'm right. We want to be right. We want to be acknowledged that we're right. We want to acknowledge that we're right. So, again, all these ways we can hold on to fixed views, right? To borrow from the Metta Sutta. We see this a lot out in the world, this posturing, this rigidity. So again, coming back to our own lives, as we kind of scan the course of the day, again, or scan the week. Are there moments that you catch, oh yeah, I get rigid here, I get hard like gold or glass or the rock, which can be melted or broken. Yeah, that rigidity. And if you allow yourself to sort of choose one situation, one challenge, and imagine softening. Is there resistance to it? Is there fear that comes up? What do you notice as you allow yourself to be soft like wet clay, to be soft like river water, to be soft like cotton? What do you notice through the shoulders, through the jaw, through the front of the body, the back body? Maybe pleasant, it may be unpleasant, it may be a neutral experience. We're just being curious. Oh, in this challenging time, place, exchange, relationship, situation, the habit might be to get rigid, the habit might be to harden. And then in that exhale, oh, okay, and in the experimental realm of this exercise, what happens when we soften? And really making space for it might not feel good to think about that. I could soften into missing my plane. I didn't want to miss my plane. So it's sort of finding this, or where's the truth, you know? But even the very possibility of softening, there's value in this felt experience. Yeah, oh, there's an option here. I could soften. And what might that be like? We're trying it on. In this conflicted situation with another or a challenge at work, whatever it might be. Oh, what might it like to be softened, to feel our fluidity? And even it might be worth playing with this, that exercise of Tara Brach, of allowing ourselves to feel ourselves as in that rigid, kind of ice cube way, where we're either very committed to being right or rigid or trying to force something, sort of identifying some of that visual of like of being like ice, solid, firm, hard. And allowing the body to kind of feel that. So it's almost inviting in a tensing of the body, a hardening of the body. And then relaxing, softening like water. And playing with really. Feeling into the subtle or maybe not subtle felt sense of moving from that sense of ice to water. Feeling the shift in the shoulders or in the jaw, the forehead, through the belly, the legs, front of the body, back of the body. Oh, this is what the fluidity, the water can feel like. And letting go even more to imagine that sense of gas, only when water is heated, that steam. So it's a sense of spaciousness. Exhale. What do you notice through the body is moving through these different elements of ice, water, steam or gas. And that this mobility from one element of water to another, from ice to liquid to gas, is always available to us. Right? Sometimes one form is going to be the more skillful response than the other. But the invitation of these teachings is, well, which is actually the more responsive place, as distinct from the reactive place? What is the more skillful? Even posing the question, does this situation, this human interaction, this internal structure that I'm struggling with, is it best met with which of these elements, if any? But in even wondering into this question, it speaks volumes to our capacity to adapt. It speaks volumes to our capacity to meet what the situation is. That through slowing down enough to understand, to have the kind of equanimous 30,000 foot view of this is what the situation is, what's the wise response here, what's the appropriate response, how can I best show up? Oh, I can make a choice sometimes. And might this be the way that Mary Oliver, quoting Rilke, invites us to change our lives, to believe in our capacity to skillfully meet the challenges in a way that allows us to take care of ourselves and respond with an open heart. I'm going to stop there. And I so appreciate your kind attention. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.